This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Well, rarely do I do a disclaimer before beginning a week's messages on Cross Hope, but this week I'm going to. You're going to hear studied this week probably the most offensive scripture in the New Testament, in my opinion, for 2018. There will be people that will laugh at this scripture. There will be people that will scoff at it and mock it. There will be people that will get angry and say, how dare you read that scripture in 2018? That's just so out of touch with reality. It happens to be the Word of God I'm reading to you today from Ephesians 5. We'll read the entire scripture tomorrow on Cross Hope, but we begin with the introduction today. God bless you as you listen all this week. Some of you remember a tennis player by the name of Arthur Ashe. He was called a world-class tennis player because of his tremendous ability, but someone referred to him in this way. I thought it was a great compliment. Arthur Ashe was a world-class father. What a compliment. You may remember the sad story is that he died of AIDS contracted by a blood transfusion during bypass surgery. But he talked about how he led by example with his children. He said, my wife and I were talking about this recently with our six-year-old daughter, he said in an interview just before his death. Children are much more impressed by what they see you do than by what you say. That's an interesting remark. Children are much more impressed by what they see you do than by what you say. Children at that age certainly keep you honest. If you've been preaching one thing all along to your children and suddenly you don't do it, they'll bring it to light right up in your face. They'll bring it to light right in your face. And some of you can say, been there and done that, where a son or daughter said, that's not what you told me to do. That's not what I hear you telling other people to do. You're doing the very thing or not doing the thing that you tell me today to do. And you say, why are you talking about that? I want to talk about who your model is, who you follow in life. Talk to any symphony conductor or musician, they'll tell you they model some of what they do after another conductor, another musician. Talk to any author and they'll say, well, really, I've had great influence in my life from this author or that author. Talk to a school teacher and he or she will tell you, I was impacted by a teacher in my life. A college professor will say, I was impacted by a teacher, and that's been a model for me. And every one of us model some things in our life that we've seen in the lives of people that have gone on before us. Today, in the passage of Scripture we study, going through the book of Ephesians in the New Testament, Paul says this plainly, succinctly, he says, be an imitator of God. Be an imitator of God. And I've got to tell you right up front, we're going to read what I consider to be one of the most offensive passages of Scripture in today's culture. I'm going to read it today. If I just picked this out of the blue and said, today I'm going to preach from Ephesians 5, some people would say, well, I wonder why he did that. But all we're doing is going through the book of the Bible at a chapter at a time, and that's where we're in chapter 5 today. Ephesians 5, beginning at verse 1. Who's your model is the title today. The Apostle Paul says this, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people.
Well, we'll read the entire scripture from Ephesians 5 tomorrow on Cross Hope. There will be some of you that will say, I can't handle it, I'm not going to listen to it, but if you're brave and courageous, you will. That's crosshope.org.
Well, as promised yesterday, we're going to read the entire passage of scripture from Ephesians 5, 1 through 8. A passage I consider to be one of the most offensive passages, if not the most offensive passage in 2018, to be read in our culture. You may be offended by the reading of this passage today. How dare you read such an
out of touch passage of scripture, and yet it's the word of God. It speaks. I want you to listen, if you're willing and you're brave enough to listen, to Ephesians 5, 1 through 8, and then we'll continue in the message. God bless you as you listen. The Apostle Paul says this, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." Folks, that's one of the most frightening verses in all of the Bible. Right there. I'm going to read it again. "For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, don't be partners with them." Now listen to this, because I want you to listen to what it doesn't say. "For you were once darkness." He doesn't say you were in darkness. He said you were darkness. What a difference. You once were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Live as children of light. What I want to do, this is a passage of scripture. I'm not going to give you 3 points in a poem. I'm not going to put up a list of thoughts and statements because this passage speaks for itself. I'm simply going to go through it verse by verse very quickly. Verse 1 says, "Be imitators of God." I found out the word imitator is the Greek word we get the word mime from, or mimic. Who do you mimic in life? Who do you take your cues from? And hopefully, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you take your cues from the Lord. You can take your cues from Hollywood. You can take your cues from the literature of the day, from the culture, and say, that's what I follow. Whatever people tell me how I should feel, how I should dress, how I should believe, how I should consider what's important in my life. And you know what? A lot of people do that. "Tell me what I should believe," we say to the culture. "Tell me how I should think politically. Tell me how I should think socially, how I should think in every way." And people take their cues from other sources other than the Word of God. And Paul says, "Be an imitator of God as dearly loved children." If I were to ask you this question, what would you fill in the blank? I live a life of, and then fill in the blank. I live a life of what? Some people put, "I live a life of hard work." Some people might say, "I live a life of education. I live a life of striving for my goals. I live a life of working hard," whatever the case may be. Other people might say, "I live a life of resentment. I live a life of bitterness. I'm bitter for what I didn't get in school, and I didn't get in high school, and I didn't get in college, and I didn't get in my young adult life, and I'm bitter, and I live a life of bitterness. I live a life of resentment. I live a life of anger," and the list could go on, and Paul says just simply, live a life of love, that the most natural description of your life could be love. And Paul says just simply, live a life of love, that the most natural description of your life could be love. Maxine Dow Jensen is an author who relates this personal experience. "The second year," she said, "I was married, my husband opened an envelope and looked over at me. His brow was furrowed and his mouth a little awry as he said, 'Maxine, this is April. My birthday's not till July. What's going on?' 'I know,' I said, 'but I saw this card and the sentiment is so appropriate. It wouldn't be there if I waited until July, and if I bought it and brought it home, I probably would have put it away and forgot about it. So I thought I'd just give it to you now.'" And then she writes this, "Waiting for the proper occasion to show love or kindness may result in doing nothing." Isn't that interesting? Waiting for the proper occasion to show kindness or love may result in doing nothing.
Leighton Ford, who used to work with Billy Graham, says we live in a culture where we treat the dead like the living. And we treat the living like the dead. We treat the dead like the living, and we treat the living like the dead. He gave an example of a woman he knew. When she died, her family went out and bought an expensive dress for her to be buried in. They bought the most expensive casket they could find. They paid a beautician big bucks to come in and fix her hair. And they did all these things for their mother who was dead. And Leighton Ford said the sad thing was when she was alive, nobody bought her a dress. Nobody got her flowers. Was on the casket a big spray of flowers, but no one bought her flowers when she was alive. No one had her paid for her hair to be done. And Leighton Ford made the observation, isn't it sad? We treat the dead like the living and we treat the living like the dead. Paul says it this way, as dearly loved children, live a life of love, live a life of love. Well, verse 3 is the verse that's the tough part. Let's get right into it. But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, which are improper for God's people. I love that phrase, hint. The King James uses the word, it must not be named among you. That doesn't do it for me like there must not be a hint. What's there a hint of in your life when you talk to people? Now, this is intriguing to me. I've actually had people tell me that, Randy, you have to understand that back in biblical days, it was easier to be moral. I mean, people wore robes, you know, and they walked around with their hands folded, and it was a decent time to live. I had actually had a man tell me that. Listen to what William Barclay, a commentator from Scotland, wrote years ago. Chastity was one new virtue which Christianity introduced into the world. It is certainly true that the ancient world regarded sexual immorality so lightly that it was no sin at all. It was the expected thing that every man would have a mistress. Not some men, but every man would have a mistress. In places like Corinth, the great temples were staffed by hundreds of priestesses who were sacred prostitutes, quote unquote, whose earnings went to the upkeep of the temple. When this was written, it wasn't a beautiful society and moral society. It was wicked. And in the midst of that, counterculturally, Paul writes to these people and said, among God's people, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or even of greed, which is interesting because these are improper.
Well, we told you this is an offensive passage in 2018. It may be offensive to people you know and love. We continue tomorrow on Cross Hope. Our website, of course, is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you and listen tomorrow.
And in the midst of that, counterculturally, Paul writes to these people and said, among God's people, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or even of greed, which is interesting because these are improper. When I hear people talk about breaking a commandment, well, I broke one of the commandments, and I broke a commandment yesterday, and I broke a commandment 2 weeks ago. Here's what I think every time I hear somebody say that. There are no broken commandments. There isn't such a thing as a broken commandment, just broken people. There aren't broken commandments. There are broken marriages. There aren't broken commandments. They're just broken homes and broken families and broken communities and broken nations and broken states. That's what's broken. We don't break the commandments of God. We're broken people when we live in open, direct violation of the Word of God. I think the most radical thing a man or woman can do, a young person, is to say, I'm going to be faithful to God's Word in this matter. You want to do something radical with your life? Just tell people you believe in Jesus Christ and you happen to believe in the authority of Scripture. That'll get their attention. You got to be kidding. You're not one of those crazy people that actually believes in the Bible, are you? You're not one of those crazy people that actually believes that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and he has authority in my life. And you say, yeah, I do, because you're going to have all kinds of voices telling you just the opposite. Look at verse 4. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Why did Paul say that? Because of what Jesus said, that words simply come out of your heart? Whenever I hear a man or woman say words are just words, they don't matter, I say somebody needs to tell the Lord that. Somebody needs to straighten him up, because the Lord said we'll be judged, get this, by every idle word. Do you get that? That I'll be judged by every idle word? Do you know what an idle word is? It's a throwdown word. It's a throwaway word. Forget the planned speeches when you told somebody off last Tuesday and you had a rehearsed speech that you practiced for 2 days. Forget about that. I'm talking about the idle words that we throw away. And the Lord says, we'll give an account for every idle word. Verse 6 says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. What does that mean? There are all kinds of voices out there to tell you exactly the opposite of what I shared with you today. You ever notice that every sin has an apologist or a defender? You name the sin, I don't care what it is. There are people out there that defend it to the death. It's not sin. It's not wrong. Whatever the case may be, and there are people who make it their job, their purpose in life to be an apologist or defender for sin. I want to tell you a couple of stories that will, I think, speak to you. Some of you are familiar with an actress by the name of Helen Mirren. Helen Mirren played the Queen Elizabeth in a film about Queen Elizabeth years ago. She said, my mother lived in London during the Blitz, during the Battle of Britain. She asked her mom, Mom, what was it like in London when the bombs were dropping? My mother told me, we carried on, not as if it wasn't happening. We carried on with life because it was happening. Interesting statement, interesting observation. We weren't living in denial and we went on with our daily life as if it weren't happening. We knew it was happening. We knew that last night we were bombed, and we knew tonight at about 9 or 10 o'clock the bombs will start dropping. But we carried on because it was happening. What's my point? We don't live in denial of what's going on in the culture around us. But because of what's going on in the culture, we say, we believe. And we're going to stand for the Word of God, and we're going to stand for truth. Scott Coyne is a radiologist who once studied for the priesthood, interestingly enough. He happened to be not only the first doctor, but the only doctor on the scene for about an hour when an Avianca Boeing 727 crashed near his home on Long Island, New York, years ago. Some of you remember that one wretched January night. This Avianca jet, I don't know if it was coming in to LaGuardia or to JFK, it was landing or it was taking off, but it crashed in Long Island. Scott says many people were killed, but there are also many survivors. He said, for more than 1 hour, I was the only doctor on the scene. One by one, he said, I had to tend to the passengers' injuries. He had to do it all with a minute or two with each passenger because he didn't have any equipment with him other than a stethoscope, he said. And he said that what made things more complicated was this. They were mostly Spanish-speaking people from Colombia, South America. So he said, all I did was go up to each patient and whisper something in their ear. Just hang on. We're going to get you help. And then he'd go on to the next person and say, we're going to get help. We're here. We've called in rescue people. They'll be here. He said within the hour, helicopters started flying overhead. Sirens were blaring everywhere. Radios, police radios and paramedics radios were blaring everywhere. It was total chaos. But Scott Coyne made this observation. I never heard any of it. I didn't hear the radios. I didn't hear the helicopters. I didn't hear the sirens. Why? He said, I was totally focused on what I had to do at that moment. What's my point in telling that story? You and I are bombarded by the voices of television and Hollywood and movies and literature and magazines and books, and they're all screaming, do what you want. Do what gives you pleasure. Do what makes you feel good. And that's the cultural bias and cultural influence today. And somebody comes along and reads from a book written 2,000 years ago that says, but among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. And you've got to make a choice, either to listen to the voices, the influences, the input, or say, no, I'm going to listen to the Word. Decide. Decide today, I'm going to be a man who follows what God says in spite of cultural pressure, in spite of the cultural influence that's bombarding my life. It's people are yelling and screaming into my life, just everything that is counter this to what I've been teaching today. But you make the decision. This is my focus, and this is the one I follow for this reason. Paul said, you once were darkness, but now you're light. Live as a child of the light. That's a word for you today. Before Christ, darkness. Coming to Christ, light. Live as a child of light. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today from Ephesians 5, a passage that's hard enough to read, let alone to preach from. This is not only politically insensitive, it's considered crazy by most of the culture today. And I know that. I understand that. But we proclaim it without fear. We proclaim it without embarrassment because it's your word. And you have something to say to us that we either live as darkness or we live as light, as children of light. Help us to choose the light of your word and the light of your Son, Jesus Christ.
Well, is there someone else that you would like to hear this message? You can introduce them to our website, crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you, and thanks for listening to Crosshope.
You've been listening to Crosshope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday, or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.